and ask if you will stand in honor of reading God's word this morning. Now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it in asphalt and pitch, and she placed the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Then his sister stood at a distance in order to see what would happen to him. Pharaoh's daughter went down to bathe at the Nile while her servant girls were walking along the way along the riverbank. Seeing the basket among the reeds, she sent her slave girl to get it. When she opened it, she saw the child, a little boy, crying. She felt sorry for him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew boys." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Should I go and call a woman from the Hebrews to nurse the boy for you?" "Go," Pharaoh's daughter told her. So the girl went and called the boy's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay you some wages." So the woman took the boy and nursed him. When the child grew old, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us this morning as we look at your word. I pray, Father, that everything thus done and said this morning be honored and glorified in your name. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been started last week and really 2 weeks ago introduced the word serve, S-E-R-V-E, and how we as God's children are called to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we're called to serve one another. I shared with you how there's 5 weeks of this sermon series on being in service or serving. The word serve, I got an acrostics for. Last week we looked at S being for see the future. In other words, as we see the future, we need to have a teachable heart. We need to have a sacrificial heart. And we need to have a prayerful heart. Well, this week we come to the letter E, and E is going to stand for engage. For us as Christians, as we serve, we need to engage and develop others to grow in our faith, for them to grow in their faith, for us to grow in faith in Jesus Christ, to work and serve alongside one another, following after Jesus Christ and the commands that He has given for us to do. Now, this is essential for the church to be involved in, for us to have the opportunity and the ability to grow God's kingdom. So, see, we cannot serve without engaging in the lives of others. We cannot serve without engaging and developing the lives of others. It's about like a lawnmower. You cannot mow the yard until you engage the blade. This blade's not going to spin round and round until you engage it. For us to grow in our faith, for others to grow in their faith, we must engage in the lives of other people. So as we move our way forward this morning, there's nothing or no one that I feel that gives us the primary example, men, of service than our mothers. There's nothing that we can point towards or look at or compare to as we look at the word serve than our mothers. And how they have served us and how they have taken care of us and how they have engaged in our lives and given us the opportunity for the successes and the things that has come along in our lives' way. So for us to move forward in this morning's message, we need to understand that a mother gives us an example of service. And I'm going to just leave you the opportunity to take these things that we're going to talk about the mother, and I want you to compare them on how your life should be as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, and how you are called to serve, and you get an example from your mother, your grandmother, many other mothers that may have influenced you along life's way. In fact, I'm reminded about a little girl who had some questions as she went to her mother and asked the question, how did the human race appear? Well, as she asked that question, the mother gave her a response that God created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve had children, and since then, God continued to be in the process, and we came from Adam and Eve in creation. This intrigued her. She continued to think about it. Well, 2-3 days later, she went to her father. And her father gave her a response when she asked him the same question. How did man come about? He said, a long time ago, there were monkeys, and we evolved from monkeys. This confused little girl, so she went back to her mother and said, Mom, I just didn't understand. They're completely different stories. And mother said, listen, this will answer, my child. I told you about my side of the family, and he told you about his side of the family. Now, I know that grabs all of our attention, especially the ladies and mothers that are here this morning. It appears that you are in agreement with this, that you were created by God and the men came from mothers. Let me just share something with you. Though this is a little silly analogy in how we view things, how we look at things, we need to look at that question more closely. The question being, how did the human race appear? Because as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, those who have surrendered to Him as Lord and Savior, we have responsibility to serve Him and serve others. James 1:22 says to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. We're to be engaged. We're to be plugged in. And too often, it's exactly what takes place when we act more like monkeys than we do children of God. There's a vivid truth in that. I think it's high time we as followers of Jesus Christ stop living a false Christian life and start living our life for Him. Amen. Because He gave His life for you so that you could live for Him. Amen. And it's important for us to not miss that very well understood opportunity. So as we look at this morning's message, I want us to learn from the role of a mother and how a mother is an example for everyone to serve. So in your fill in the blanks, and number one that's within your bulletin, how a mother is an example for everyone to serve, a mother trusts in the Lord. A mother trusts in the Lord. The first detail that we must understand is why Jochebed, which is Moses' mother, sent Moses downstream. That's the first question as we look and read these chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 in Exodus. We want to question, why did she have to send him down the stream? Read from Exodus chapter 1, you'll come to an understanding a couple of different occasions, but I want to look at verse 22 where it says, Pharaoh then commanded all his people, you must throw every son born to the Hebrews into the Nile, but let every daughter live. You see, Jochebed had to learn to trust the Lord, even in the middle of struggle and difficulty. Especially in the middle of struggle and difficulty. You see, in fact, every mother here this morning and every mother has many different difficulties and struggles that they face raising their children. And in that process, they must trust the Lord every step of the way. You see, there are many mothers that have difficulties and struggles that they're facing here this morning. Perhaps there are many mothers that are here this morning, we don't know how to talk about the struggles and difficulties that they're facing. You see, all too often, we're guilty of you choosing Proverbs 31. And I thought about it for a little bit of time. Proverbs 31, woman, how it gives us an example of a perfect woman, if you will. There are no perfect people, period. Because mothers and fathers have struggles and difficulties. Life comes our way every single day. We have all these difficulties, and being a mother, though it has tremendous blessing, it takes tremendous effort. To teach their children, to engage in the lives of their children, and all along the way, trusting the Lord in the process, and I feel like this is exactly what Jochebed had to do. You see, the struggles and difficulties, in my opinion, Jochebed is similar to the mothers today that is going through struggles and difficulties. I feel like as if there was a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of worrisome days that Jochebed had, as well as many mothers maybe here this morning, have had a lot of sleepless nights and worrisome days along the life's way because you wonder when your child may be coming back through that door. Because you wonder when your child who is in life, in school, or wherever they may be in life. They may be 90 years old, I don't know. You may be a mother that has a child today. Your child is 90 years old. But you never grow out of being a mother and worrisome about your child. That love remains the same. Those struggles are real. And all along the way, you still have to trust the Lord through the entire process. You see, this is an attribute that the mother receives, as Paul prayed this morning, an attribute that the mother receives from the Lord himself. It's an attribute that we all know very well. Passion for the mother's passion for her children to be obedient to her as she loves and teaches them. She doesn't just teach them to cause them to fail. A mother teaches her child, or at least should, teach her child to be successful. Just like God teaches us and equips us to have a successful life. Not meaning that struggles will not come, because they will. But along life's way, we still must trust the Lord and rely upon Him completely and fully. So why does a mother teach her child right from wrong? To help keep them safe, and for they as well may come to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that takes a lot of trust in a mother, in a family. Trusting the Lord that your child will know and serve Jesus. You see, there's many occasions that a mother comes to the end of her rope. There's many times in life that we, in service to God, we come to the end of our rope because of the condition our society is. And the rejection, the rebellion away from God, the way that our world, our nation is. If you don't believe it, you just turn on the news every once in a while and you'll hear Christians being persecuted. You'll hear people being persecuted. You'll hear the mention of God and this is something wrong. You're being intolerant. Struggles are real. Difficulties come. Life is difficult. Life is a struggle. And Satan wants to tear our children away from us. Satan wants to divide and destroy families in the process. And this takes a lot of trust for us to rely upon Him in the middle of our struggles and difficulties. So back to the text. Imagine being Jochebed. Life's difficulties do not compare to losing a child. Many here today have faced uncertainty with their children. Many mothers here today maybe have lost a child. You see, God was not surprised. God did not bring this chaos, this sinful world upon us. We chose that path. Struggles and difficulties come along life's way. And when we face these difficulties, when we face these struggles, we still have to trust Him. And as was mentioned earlier a moment ago, we see many have lost their children to death because of choices that the children may have made. And running away from the Lord and overdosing on things that this world offers and rebelling against God. Not being that they're bad people, but somewhere along the way they made a bad choice and they couldn't escape it on their own. And they didn't turn to the Lord for His help. I want to ask you to be in prayer for Larry and Diane Mann. And lost their son, Randy spoke of earlier. We know him because he's related to some of the church members here. He's preached here before. Be in prayer for this family, the loss that they're enduring. Be in prayer for your neighbor, one that may be sitting beside you, next to you, in front of you, behind you, that's lost a loved one. And that affects you going through and facing this. Trust. Trust the Lord. He's got a plan for you, and through the chaos and struggles and difficulty that life brings us, He has a plan for success to take place. He wants to bring honor and glory to His name through you, even though you may be facing a struggle and difficulty. You see, Jochebed had to come to an understanding that she was not alone. You see, Pharaoh sent out this edict for all of the Hebrew boys to be thrown into the Nile. And too often what we're guilty of is we face life and we think, I am all alone in this process. It's me against the world. When there's other people going through the same struggles and difficulties just like we are. And I encourage you to get plugged in to a Bible-fearing man or woman, whichever your gender may be, that can help you, pray for you, love you, and show you, and that you can do the same for them. As you both trust the Lord together. Mothers, I want to thank you for showing us as children that we need to trust the Lord. Through our difficulties, through our struggles, through life that comes at us, thank you for giving us the example of trusting the Lord. You see, Jochebed did this. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, she made it into the hall of faith, if you will. By faith, after Moses was born, he was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw this child was beautiful and they did not fear the king's anger. They didn't fear what life had in store for them. Through the process, though they know it's difficult, they trusted the Lord. Number two, and you fill in the blank. How a mother is an example for everyone to serve. A mother nourishes for the Lord. A mother nourishes for the Lord. Do you remember me sharing earlier how a mother cares for a family, how a mother was involved in every detail? And if you remember back when you were a teenager, maybe you're a teenager now too often, you feel like mother was in every detail. You have that tone because you think, I can't do anything. Mother has this intuition, and no matter what we do, she already knows about it before we get home. That's the nourishment that she gives. She has that close of a connection with you. That nourishment that she knows everything about you. She knows by looking at you if you're going through and facing something difficult, and she's there with you and for you, nourishing you along life's way. You see, this is an attribute as well given from God, like we talked about earlier. Even when a child rebels against you, as a mother, even when a child rebels against God as our Creator and Redeemer, a mother still does not give up. A mother continues to move forward, continues to nourish for her children, continues to reach out to her child that she wants to come into a closer bond and relationship with the family and with the Lord. See, all too often what takes place when we have this society that views there's good and there's bad. You see, the Bible actually says none are good, no, not one. But we see in the context, we see relating to a mother, what happens in a family relationship. A mother wants for her good children and bad children both to be successful, to know the Lord, and to have fellowship with her and with the family. And she's not going to give up. She's going to continue to nourish. And what too often takes place is the good child, per se, like you see about the prodigal son, becomes jealous. And this jealousy, not only does it break down the family relationship, like the bad child will say was doing take place, and I know that happens in many different families, because that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to divide our families. He wants to divide and conquer over you. He wants you to go away from what God's desires are for your life and follow after Him in rebellion to the Lord. He'll use anything and everything to bring chaos and struggle and friction in the home of the family. But mothers, I want to encourage you, just like you've been doing, do not give up. Keep heading the right path in the straight direction. Keep nourishing your good and bad children. Follow after the Lord. And to come back into fellowship with one another as a family. Don't let Satan win during the struggle and difficulty that you may be facing. You see, in the text we see that Jochebed was greatly blessed by God because she kept the course. It's kind of humorous, if you will. We see within the scripture that she gave birth. She hid Moses for 3 months. She put him on the Nile, went down, Pharaoh's daughter found her. And who, by the way, gets to nourish Moses, the mother of Moses? All because she trusted in the process. And by the way, in the process, not only did this mother, Ms. Jochebed, have the opportunity to nourish Moses and to raise him and to teach him who God is for the first years of his life, but she got paid to do it. You see in the text it says, and they pay the wages for the mother. But talk about when you trust the Lord, He will take care of every detail. He does not abandon His children. He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. He is there with you and for you. You just keep the course. He didn't say it'd be easy. John 16:33 says, Jesus said, I have come that you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation, but fear not, because I have overcome the world. And because He has victory, we have victory. Because he has given us victory when we surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Randy mentioned it earlier. Revelations chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. Some scriptures, mothers and fathers, that we hold dear to, that we may be going through struggles and difficulty, and life is tough right now in the moment and the season in which we are living in. It may not be while we're on this earth, but there's a day of coming. Revelation 20, verses 3 and 4 says this: "Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will no longer exist, because the previous things have passed away." God makes all things new. So the struggle, the difficulty, the life you're living right now, don't abandon the Lord. Keep trusting him and keep nourishing yourself in him. Keep nourishing your children in him. Keep following the path. Keep forward with the task. Now, mothers, remember, nourishment of your child is for the Lord and not yourself. Nourishment of your child is for God's glory and not for your own glory. Keep the course. Stay the path. Live by faith. Number three, you're filling the blank. How a mother is an example for everyone to serve. Now, this is the most difficult one, but it's this: a mother surrenders to the Lord. You see, all too often we're guilty, and I did this on purpose, of placing the surrender at the end, when in fact this should take place at the beginning. You see, when we surrender to the Lord, we don't hold anything back. We don't keep anything from him. But we're all too guilty of holding things back and not surrendering until the end. But I think Jochebed gives us the example of what has to take place. She had to trust the Lord. She had to nourish Moses. She had to raise him up to know Jesus, to know the Lord. Then she had to surrender him to God's plan for his life. More often than not, surrendering is the last thing we do, but Jochebed shows us differently. As a mother and as a servant of God, I know the question that we're asking, I know the question that Jochebed probably had to ask along life's way, is this not enough just to trust and to nourish? Now I've got to surrender to him too? I've got to surrender all this too? I know that's the question that runs through our minds. Or maybe I'm the only one that has that question run through my mind. But it does run through our minds. Surrender? You mean surrender? That's giving in. That's giving up. That's giving everything. You see, but this surrender shows strength. Because Paul wrote, in the middle of our weaknesses, people can see that he is strong. Now, we can trust in him. You see, Jochebed reveals the most difficult task as Moses started to grow older. She had to surrender him to the care of another. She had to place her son that she feared for his life. Now she was able to raise him the first years of his life. And then there come a time when she said, you know what? God's got a plan for this child. And I've got to surrender him to the Lord's work. Same thing holds true for each and every mother and father here. You see, we have the opportunity to raise our children for a short season. My youngest daughter was born 18 years ago today. How quickly time goes by. I'm not ready to let go. But Paige and I prayed before Casey was born. He would take and use them to bring on the glory of his name, not ours. He didn't say surrender would be easy. He just said do it. Jochebed knew that surrender was not going to be easy. But she followed through with it. And look at what she had to surrender to. Pharaoh. Pharaoh's daughter. An evil man. A selfish man. One that would not be your primary choice if you're going to surrender a child to someone's care. But she did it anyway. She trusted God had a plan. She trusted in a long life's way that God was going to be in the details, and he was a better mother than she was because she created. You see, the fact of it is, God loves your child more than you do. In that he gave his life upon the cross and was buried, but 3 days later he arose in victory over death and on the grave. He loves your child more than you ever could. So I know you love your child dearly, because I love mine dearly. God loves our children. He loves us more than we could ever show love for anyone.
See, it's important for us to understand this surrendering that takes place. How is surrender to the Lord beneficial, we might ask? Because he loves our children more than we do. And that begins with the blood of Jesus. That begins for us as parents to trust, to nourish, to surrender our child to the Lord, to raise them to know Jesus Christ as Savior, because we're either passing that test or not. There's no middle of the road, I am passing it or not. There's no middle of the road. I'll think about passing it one day. I'll try to pass it another day. It's either you're raising them to know Jesus or you're not. So it's important for us to make sure that that is the ground roots. That's ground zero. That is the foundation, because there's no other foundation that we can build upon than that foundation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. And we need to make sure that a foundation of life we're building upon ourselves and our children to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You see, when a person surrenders, this does not mean they stop battling. They keep going. Now, I want to share with you a little story about my grandma. I've got her quilt rack at my home. I haven't taken as good care of it as I wish I had, but I still remember watching my grandmother in the living room, a lot of times other ladies from the community go there to quilt. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you've ever sewn or not. That doesn't matter. But sewing is a difficult task, you might say. If you're making a quilt, you get a pattern, and there's a lot of little squares. I know there's different ones. I'm going to share with you one. You take this square, and it's maybe a color, or it has a pattern on it, but you sew something into it, and maybe you sew something into that, and you start to build a process of sewing into it. Well, I don't know if you've ever sewn or not, but maybe sometime you run that a needle through the fabric, and boom, you hit a finger, and a little blood comes up. Well, my grandmother probably did that a couple of occasions, even if she did work, didn't she? She tried to prevent that pattern. But you look at quilting. Now, I want you to, for a moment, in your mind's eye, I want you to look at the back side of that quilt, the inside of that quilt, if you will, the sides you never see. There's a lot of jagged edges through there. There's a lot of needle and thread and knots everywhere. And it's just uneven edges just scattered around. It's not a very pretty sight. Just turn it over. Barely tell them to see you. You see beauty in them. That applies very directly to us. God's at work in our lives, struggles, difficulties, chaos comes. We have threads run everywhere in our lives. We're woven and intricately that God has developed our lives and our circumstances and the things that we have gone through and faced. And he has woven them together to bring you to the point where you are today so you can serve him. It's not a pretty sight, the struggles and difficulties that you have gone through in your life. And there's knots that are built up within you, which is called scars. Yeah. Scars of life where maybe a love went wrong, where maybe a struggle went wrong, where maybe something happened in your life and it hurt. But God's been at work in your life. And who knows how many uneven edges there are that's protruding outside in your side of your life. That God has been at work with the detail. Difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. Chaos, struggle, all these things. But when God gets finished, you see, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, God finishes the job he starts. Amen. But there's one thing that can prevent it. And that's your life will be. Because we see within Scripture, and mothers, I want you to remember this, and I want you not to forget it. Because mothers, you are not junk. You are precious in the sight of God. Struggles and difficulties that you may be facing and going through, he is there with you. You are not alone. And I want you to remember Psalm 139, verse 14 through 18, which states this: Lord, I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret. When I was formed in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how difficult your thoughts are for me to comprehend. How vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. But when I wake up, I am still with you. I am still with you. Mothers, thank you for showing us how to serve our risen Savior. Mothers, thank you for showing us how to trust God in difficulties and struggles. How to give nourishment when times are tough and you don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know who holds your hand. And mothers, I want to thank you for surrendering to Jesus Christ and surrendering your children's lives to live in obedience to Him. But I want to ask you one thing. Don't stop. So we need you. Just like we did our Savior. As long as you've got breath, we need you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Father, as we get ready for a song of invitation this morning, if there's one here that's going through life and it's been a difficult path, I pray, Father, that they feel your presence. I pray, Lord, that everything God has said is according to your will. Father, there's one here, most importantly, that does not know your Son, Jesus, Lord, Savior. I pray, Lord, that today will be the day of salvation. They will come to you, they will turn to you, they will rely upon you, and their complete trust, knowing that you will nourish them because they're going to surrender to you, Lord, and Savior. Father, thank you for our mothers. Help us, Father, to live for you, and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, I ask that you will stand this time.